Today, I'm investing in my mental health. Well, in a particular way, I suppose the truth is that I regard every day as an investment in my mental health. And when I'm focused and paying attention to the most important thing in my entire life, it's actually my own mental health that I'm attending to. But today, this morning, I have a counselling session. And I thought, well, look, while I'm driving the car here and will eventually arrive in Cove in Ireland, from which the Titanic sailed, and in this year of its centenary, it's very easy to see a connection between my own mental health and the place from which the Titanic sailed. You know, without looking after myself well, and I don't have a track record of looking after myself well enough, but without looking after myself well, I could have and have had in the past experiences that from a mental health point of view were fairly titanic. It's not that very long since I recovered. Last October, I recovered, 10th of October to be precise, and if I'm being silly, I could tell you what time of the day, but no, it wasn't quite as dramatic as that, but it was about the 10th of October that I came out of, finally, a bout of depression that had begun in January of 2011. So it was a 9-month period in which I left society. And I won't try and summarise it now. I have done it some ways before, both in writing and on audiobook. But today is special. You know, I've arranged a counselling session with a man in Cove, and we have them about every maybe 6 weeks now. And it certainly stops me in my tracks and gets me to slow down and to be very mindful of what I've been doing. To be truthful, my counsellor would not approve of what I'm doing right now. My counsellor would say to me, drive the car or record an audiobook, but don't do both. He wouldn't say it that way, but that would be the effect of conversation with him would have on me. So, you know, I am a delinquent. You know, I'm non-compliant. And, you know, the other thing is that I do things that aren't, that I'm not proud of. I guess I'm just bloody ordinarily human, but, you know, I couldn't resist the temptation to share the reflections, because and this isn't a self-justification, I think, although it is a self-justification. You know, if I was driving the car without the audiobook on, the very thoughts that I'd be saying to you now, they'd be what would be going through my head. Well, yes, the substance would be the same. They'd be quicker. They'd be quicker unless I slowed them down. And that's what it's about, really, for me. It is about slowing down. And it is about attending better to what I have in front of me. It's also about planning, and I have a planning challenge in front of me. It's also about reviewing, and I have a reviewing challenge in front of me. I'll be reviewing this morning the period since the last counselling session. I'll be reporting in, and the reporting in will be for my benefit. You know, it's the great thing about going for counselling is that it's protected time, you're committed to it. You've got 50-odd minutes or so, which is entirely yours. And I've had a lot of counselling in my life. You know, it was way back in the 1980s when I had my first experience of counselling, and I remember the resistance. I remember the feelings of, oh God, I can't go for that kind of stuff, you know. You know, that would be a that would be an admission, or how could I possibly, what would I say? You know, what would I say? You know, in those days, for me, I suppose I dealt with anxiety by talking all the time. I probably still deal with anxiety by talking all the time, but I've had a bit more practice at silence. That's why, for example, it helps me so much to be part of a little community led by Jacqueline Carley in the United States called #12ER on Twitter, where I've had an opportunity to think about what habit would I like to practice during this month. Even the question, you know, think about it. What habit would you like to practice? Sorry, I'm slipping into a therapeutic role. Forgive me, I am really wanting to just stay with counselling. You know, I've had counselling one day a week. That's my first experience of counselling, was one day a week. I then had counselling 2 days a week. And then it began to become a little bit more complex, in the sense that when you went 2 days a week, not as much had happened in between, let us say, Monday and Thursday, as would have happened between a Monday and a Monday. So therefore, the counselling session was gradually filled up with less and less reporting of what had happened since the previous time. And it became much more like here in the room, here and now. And, okay, I'll go with this trend. I then had 5 days psychoanalysis a week. I had went for psychoanalysis on Monday to Friday for 5 years. And that, as you can well imagine, is a huge and story. By the way, it has to be remembered that behind the need for counselling and the need for psychotherapy and the need for psychoanalysis, or the practice of it that I got involved in, lay a troubled soul, lay somebody who, you know, it's very easy for me now that it's that kind of is all over, or that has happened, and I've survived, and I'm still alive, and I'm able to talk to you, and I'm able to enjoy driving around the Dunkettle roundabout. You know, that's a crazy thing to enjoy, isn't it? I'm driving around the Dunkettle roundabout in Cork, you know, which is chock-a-block at 8:58. But behind all this therapy and talk of it lies a trouble, lay difficulties. And, you know, I was that person. And I had my struggles. And, you know, did I struggle to draw benefit from counselling and psychoanalysis? I did. I came to the view eventually that the quality of the therapist is less important than the readiness of the person, in other words, me, to draw value from the time spent with them. Now, that's a controversial point of view. I don't want to kind of propagandize on it, because I think it is important to find a therapist who is good. But the fact that, for me, the struggle was to draw value from the time with the other person. This is just about my individual idiosyncratic view, and I'm not urging anyone to do anything. I don't relish the role of advisor. So, yeah, 5 years of psychoanalysis. I will someday do a series of audio booths about psychoanalysis, because, you know, we all have ideas about psychoanalysis and, you know, where do they come from? What role do our ideas about psychoanalysis play? Oh, fascinating story. Am I glad I had that much therapy, that I did that? You know, when I have my Spike Milligan hat on, I would say, no, I hated the fucking thing. It was just awful, you know. There's no good at all in having a vulnerable mental health condition, you know. Spike Milligan used to rail against it, and, you know, he had no truck with the idea that, you know, it helped his creativity to be sick, to be ill, to be down, to be struggling. I can't remember the exact words Spike Milligan used, but I love the way he rejects the idea. Because I don't reject the idea that my mental health condition has been bad for me, or good for me, or whatever. I suppose I belong to the school of people who think that the experience of mental health struggle has been great. It's ultimately rewarding. But, now look, I'm getting away into a typical Pauline stroke. Forgive the reference to theology. I'm doing my typical, you know, get away from the concrete here and now into phantasmagorical memories. No, I'm going for a counseling session this morning, and it's going to be very good to look back on what I said I would do 6 weeks ago. I have a list, and I know mindfulness was at the top of the list, and I'm glad to say that as I sit in this traffic jam at Mahon Point with a silver Leon car, looks like a Seat in front of me, I'm not sure. You know, a car that was bought at Cashman's Car Sales, Cork Road, Middleton, that has red lights, a pair on each side, the back. And on a very taciturn day, where the weather is as inclined to piss on you as it is to, you know, lord over you. You know, I am better able than ever before in my entire life to be mindful, to see the value of stopping. And when the great Scottish voice man, McColgan, practiced being mindful, mindfully walking, it thrilled me recently. Those of you who aren't following McColgan, who haven't linked with him on Audioboo, are missing a real treat. But anyway, he did it. And to hear another person being mindful on Audioboo, and in fact, I also remember Jacqueline B doing it as well on Audioboo, to hear people being mindful, practicing mindful, being mindful. In other words, practicing slowing down and focusing on what, well, experiencing, actually. It's definitely not about thinking. It's about, you know, feeling cold, feeling hot, feeling warm, you know, feeling the floor under your feet, feeling the gear lever in my left hand and the roundness of the top of it and the coldness of the pipe of it. All of that kind of experiential heartfulness is the word that I love most. Yeah, I've done that since my last counselling session, and I've been helped to do it. And, you know, I could very easily come to tears at this point because of the support I've been given. The support has come in all sorts of ways. Some of them have been big dollops of support, and others have been little dollops of support. And some support have come from people who have no idea how supportive they're being to me. They may not even be intending to be supportive, but, you know, presence. Somebody's presence is a support. A child knows that. We know it about children, you know. Just to be by the side of the cot, looking in, being there for the baby. A baby who's unable to differentiate between themselves and what they're seeing. You know, just being a warmth and a presence. We all know that that's being supportive. But somewhere along the line, you know, I wonder, do we forget how supportive we are to others by our very presence? Without making any effort. Just being alongside somebody. I mean, the very thought that you're listening to this is a support to me. You know, they're, even fantasies are supports, you know. The fantasy that this, that there are people out there listening to this, you know, and I think of Simon on Audioboo, who always starts his Audioboos with the phrase like, my imaginary friends, you know. It's a joy to have imaginary friends. Children have them, and what do we call the name of the kind of imaginary friend that young children have? Well, you know, this is all about, in my mind, it's about the next traffic lights. It's about the red lights that are here facing me at Mahon Point. I see three of them, and I see a counselling session coming up in Imagination in Cove. And you know what? It's good to be alive today.